Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Your first mission is to keep yourself happy.
It's living for self that is so exhausting and frustrating because you were made to live for Him. So when you begin to please Him, you begin to thrive. It's not a burden. It's not a duty. It's a joy. I come alive. This is what I was made for.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome in to Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. Hey, I'm Jimmy Hicks, and we're doing something a little bit different today. Todd's not with us. We're actually going to be listening in to Ray Comfort, who was recently with the crew from Living Waters at Cal State Fullerton, where they engage students in conversations on cultural issues, but more importantly, the gospel.
So, you said you're agnostic?
I am agnostic,
you
yes.
You believe in God?
I do.
And I said, is He angry at you? And what did you say?
I know I am imperfect.
Can you give me some specifics? What are you doing that displeases God?
I don't go to church too regularly.
Well, I don't know if that displeases God like sin.
Yeah, well, that too. I mean,
have you been born again?
No, I haven't,
okay,
actually.
We want you to be born again. We want you to enter God's kingdom. Jesus said this, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the thing that will stop you coming to Christ is your love of sin. The Bible says we hate God without cause. We're enemies of God in our mind through wicked works. It actually says in the book of Romans, our mind is in a state of hostility towards God. Are you hostile towards God?
No.
You're not? Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Not in recent time.
So you have?
Yes.
Why didn't you just say yes?
I like attention.
Not in recent times. Do you love your mom?
Yeah.
Would you ever use her name as a cuss word, a substitute for human excrement? Would you use your mother's name in that context? Please say no.
No.
Good. Because you respect her.
Yeah.
But you don't respect the God that gave you a mother. You have taken His holy name and used it in place of a cuss word. What greater hostility can you have towards anyone than to use their name as a cuss word? So you're at enmity with God in your mind through wicked works. That's what the Bible says. And every time you sin, you're storing up God's wrath that's going to be revealed on the day of judgment. So let's go through those commandments as we did with our friend before and see how you're doing.
Yes.
Are you a good person?
Okay. I like to think so as well.
Okay. This is going to be a little embarrassing for you. Alex, when did you last look at pornography?
I don't remember. I got a girlfriend. I don't remember.
Oh, are you fornicating with your girlfriend?
Guys, oh my gosh.
So you don't need porn because you're fornicating with your girlfriend. And the Bible says fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. I told you it was going to be embarrassing. But think of what's going to happen on the day of judgment. If you're embarrassed in front of human beings, how much more will you be ashamed on the day of judgment? And I don't want that to happen to you. Have you lied and stolen?
I took a gumball from the candy store once when I was nine. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's disappointing.
Yeah. Look, Alex, let me tell you something.
Yes, sir.
It's human nature to trivialize sin. I stole something when I was a little kid from a little store. It was a little piece of candy. That's what we like. And I lied. I told little white lies. Just when it comes to lust, I expect guys to say, yeah, I have lust, but just after little women. Nothing big. We trivialize sin, but Alex, you open my wallet and take $1 out, you're as much a thief as you took if you took $10 out. The value of that which you steal is irrelevant to God. So you've told me you're a liar. Have you stolen? You have stolen.
I did.
And blasphemed? And you're a fornicator and an adulterer at heart. So if God judges you by those 10 commandments on Judgment Day, you're going to be innocent or guilty?
I'm pretty guilty.
Pretty guilty?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll definitely be guilty. Would you go to heaven or hell?
I've always tried to live truthfully and...
You've always what?
Tried to live like... I live every day like it is my last.
Yeah, not one day you're going to be right.
Yeah. I try and be a good person, everyone, regardless of...
Do you remember the question?
Yeah.
Will you be innocent or guilty on Judgment Day as a lying, thieving, blasphemous, fornicating adulterer at heart?
I'm guilty.
Yeah. Would you go to heaven or hell?
I'd probably go to the HE double hockey sticks.
Now, does that concern you? You might think it's funny, but I don't. I'm horrified.
I'm not.
Just met you, and I love you. I don't want you to go to hell. That breaks my heart. I'm serious. You may not see tears in my eyes, but there are tears in my voice. If you die tonight in your sleep, God will justly damn you in a terrible place called hell. Jesus said, fear not him who has power to kill your body and afterwards do no more, but fear him who has power to kill your body and destroy your soul in hell. Don't let that happen to you. So, does it concern you that you go to hell today if you died?
It does concern me.
Okay, now what did God do for guilty sinners like you and me so we wouldn't have to go to hell?
Yes, he died on the cross for our sins.
Now even the devil knows that. Most of America knows that. But you've got to appropriate what he did. We broke the law, Jesus paid the fine. Like I said to the guy before, if you're in court and someone pays your fine, a judge can legally let you walk free. And God can take death off you because of what Jesus did on the cross. Paying the fine. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So if you repent, turn from sin, trust in Jesus, right now God will wash away your sins and grant you everlasting life as a free gift. All because of his amazing grace. So Alex, when are you going to repent and put your trust in Jesus?
As soon as I can.
Today?
Yes.
Are you sorry for your sins?
I'm sorry.
Are you willing to repent and trust in Jesus?
Yeah. I do have a question, though.
Okay, what's your question?
What is your stance on the queer community?
Get someone who was a homosexual and talk to me, and we'll talk about that.
I'm a bisexual.
Bisexual. What does that mean?
I am attracted to both men and women.
Okay. So what's your question?
What would you say is the Bible's stance on homosexuality?
Yeah, this is what it says in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 through 9, 6 through 9. It says this, and it's very relevant how it begins. What's your name?
Val.
Val? Nice to meet you, Val. It says this, do not be deceived. That's how it begins. In other words, you can get into deception unless you understand this. And then it says, neither fornicators, you know what a fornicator is?
Yes.
Okay, neither fornicators nor idolaters. You know what an idolater is?
No.
Someone who makes up a false god. I did it before I was a Christian. I created a god in my own image to suit myself. A nice, cuddly, snuggly god that I cuddled up to and prayed to every night for about 10 years. But it wasn't the God of the Bible. My God had no sense of justice or righteousness, truth. He was part of my imagination, the place of imagery. And that's what we do. We make an image of God that accepts our sins. And it's called idolatry. And the Bible warns idolaters will not inherit the kingdom of God. So it says, do not be deceived, neither fornicators nor idolaters, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor adulterers, nor thieves will inherit the kingdom of God. So the Bible is very clear. And Val, if I meet an adulterer, I've got to say to them, I love you. I want you to repent of your adultery and trust alone in Jesus so your sins can be forgiven. If I meet an idolater, I say the same thing because I love him. A fornicator or a homosexual, I love homosexuals and I love them enough to tell them if they want to enter God's kingdom, they've got to turn from everything God considers to be sin. And that was...
But the word homosexuality was not introduced into the English Bible until the 20th century.
That's because it wasn't an English word until about the 7th. Hear that? It wasn't an English word. There was no such word as homosexual right up till about the 17th century. So it's in the scriptures. Those scriptures I quoted to you are 2,000 years old. And the book of Leviticus, about 3,000 years old, says it's an abomination for a man to lie with a man. So the Bible is very, very clear about who will and who won't inherit the kingdom of God.
Well, the Leviticus verse originally meant to be a man not lay with a boy, in meaning for pedophilia and not homosexuality.
So, Val, what's going to happen to you when you die?
I believe in God, and I love the way Jesus did by not discriminating against others for who they love, what they believe in. I don't discriminate against immigrants, against homosexuals, against women who have abortions, against nobody, because I love the way Jesus did. And Jesus Jesus personally washed the feet of the prostitute instead of stoning her along with others in the town.
I think you're getting a little mixed up with those two stories. One was a woman who was caught in the act of adultery, and the law said she should be stoned to death. And they threw her at Jesus' feet and said, what are you going to do? She was caught in the very act. Jesus knelt down and wrote in the sand, and he stood up and he said, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone at her. And then he said to the woman, when they left, beginning in the youngest, oldest to the youngest, he said, woman, where are your accusers? And she said, none, Lord. And then, do you remember what he said to her? Go your way and sin no more. Very clear.
Well,
Jesus
does not give the right of us and humans and sinners to judge and discriminate against others while we are also sinners. Homosexuality is an equal sin as lying and adultery. So there's no greater sin. Every sin is equal in the eyes of Jesus. So if you
Belle,
lie,
I've got,
if
I've got
you
to
cheat,
address
if you
that, Belle.
Steal,
you brought up a good point. Can I just answer that? That's just not true. If a man rapes a woman and then stabs her to death, that's not the same as lying.
Why did
you go for the help?
I,
oh, exactly. God, hang on, that, you
Jesus
could be next.
Says
what's your
that,
name?
You
going to be next?
Sure.
Please.
Jesus
you.
Says that all eyes, the Bible says that all sins are equals in the eyes of the Lord.
Where does it say that?
It's in the Bible.
It is not. It's not. It's not. So, do you think you're a good person? Are you going to face that law on Judgment Day and be saved, or are you a sinner?
Well, I am a sinner because I am a human being. I'm
so
not.
So, have
perfect.
You lied and stolen?
I've lied.
Well, the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. I don't want you to end up in hell. I want you to be saved. I want you to put your trust in Jesus. And Val, when you're born again, God will give you a new heart and new desires so you love what God loves and hate what God hates. And God says homosexuality, adultery, fornication, lying and stealing are sins, and God will give you a love of righteousness. He'll open the eyes of your understanding, bring you out of darkness into light so you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So please think about what we talked about, will you?
All right, we'll be back with more from Ray Comfort and the crew at Living Waters coming up next on Wretched Radio. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? The hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Hey, can I be honest with you for a second? I see a lot of guys just drifting, just going through the motions, working, hanging out, maybe going to church, but not really sure what they're supposed to be doing with their lives. And here's what's crazy. Nobody's giving you real answers. It's just a bunch of cliches about being a man that don't actually help. But I found something that does help. Dr. Adam Tyson has hosted a Fortis Forum, 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart, and it is not what you think. Dr. Tyson does not just tell you to do better. He shows you what the Bible actually says about manhood, real steps you can take, real changes that start in your heart, not just your behavior. That's what we need. Look, if you're tired of drifting and you want some actual direction, this is it. 5 steps that will challenge you to live with real purpose. It's on Fortis Plus. You can watch it whenever you want. Just go check it out right now. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Just download Fortis Plus wherever you download your apps or go to fortisplus.org. Trust me, it's time to stop drifting and time to start living.
Know your church fathers. Clement of Alexandria
was an apologist in the late 2nd century. He ran a school in Alexandria, Egypt, where he instructed new converts and trained Christian apologists. He taught that only Christianity, with its revelation from God in the Bible, has the answers regarding creation, good and evil, and salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we are back on Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio. We've been listening to Ray Comfort and the crew at Living Waters out at Cal State Fullerton at the recent Turning Point USA Speak Your Mind event. And now let's get back out to the campus.
What's your name?
Saul.
Saul?
Yeah.
That's a good Bible name.
No, not Saul or not Paul or whatever. Saul. Saul. S-O-L.
It's what?
S-O-L. Saul.
Saul. Oh, that's a Bible name. Solomon.
Sure. Maybe you can say it's short for Solomon.
You can't get away from it, can you, Saul?
No, I can't. I wish I could, but I can't. America's
enamored
with it.
He was the wisest man to ever live outside of Christ. And he said, God has set aside a day in which he will judge the world. He says, fear God. With all the wisdom he had, he said, fear God and keep his commandments. So how are you doing with the fear of God? Do you fear God?
Well, I came here to ask you a question. I'm not really
interested. Okay, well, let's do your question.
All right, sure. So I just want to lay out a pretty logical argument for you. So you think that, like, God is all-powerful, right? Omnipotent, or?
Yes, of course.
Okay, God is omnipotent, and yet he allows a lot of suffering in the world. And you're going to say something like, God, allows suffering in the world because he doesn't want to violate humans' free will. Is that more or less correct?
No, that's way off.
You believe that? That's way off. Can you explain to me what you
say that.
Think about that?
You know, some people reject the Bible because of suffering, or they say God doesn't exist because of suffering. That's like driving a car through an intersection, brakes fail, you run over a whole lot of pedestrians, you see a lot of suffering, and you say, look at the suffering. Nobody made this car.
Yeah,
it's illogical. It doesn't make sense.
Now, but the driver
finish.
Is...
Let me finish what I was saying.
Go ahead.
Because this is very important. We can look at the issue of suffering and say, why does God allow suffering? We don't know why he allows suffering, but we certainly know why there is suffering. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that we live in a fallen creation with disease, pain, suffering, and death. So every time you see a kid with cancer or someone suffer, you can say to yourself, the Bible is right. So don't use suffering as an excuse to reject God or the Bible when the Bible makes it clear why they're suffering. Does that make sense?
No, I don't think it makes sense to me at all.
What part doesn't make sense?
The part that doesn't make sense to me is that an all-powerful creator would create a world, an environment, where the rules are such that if you mess up in some way, that can justify all kinds of suffering in the world. So, abject, horrible suffering, horrible pain, horrible death.
So what sort of things are you doing that you think God would be offended by?
Well, I can say that some things that I could be doing that in your worldview God would think that
tell me
is
what
offended
they
by.
Are.
I'm not going to assume that God is
what
real.
Are they?
Whatever sin is under the Bible.
Well, be specific.
Whatever. I try not to lie. Humans lie in their day-to-day interactions.
Yeah,
and stuff like
so
that.
You've lied.
Okay, sure, yeah.
So you've broken the ninth commandment. What about the eighth? You shall not steal.
Maybe when I was a kid, I stole something, like
you
a pencil.
You started stealing when you were a little kid? Whoa, have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yeah, sure.
Have you looked at women with lust and committed adultery in your heart?
Probably, yeah.
Have you ever hated someone other than at this present moment?
I don't hate you, but... I probably hated people.
The Bible says he who hates his brother is a murderer. So let's just have a quick summation of your court case on Judgment Day. Saul, you've just told me you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterer at heart, and a murderer at heart, and you're pointing at the holy God of heaven that gave you life and saying, God, I want an explanation from you about suffering.
So again, I came up here with a very specific question, and I feel like we're just veering off into the script that you've set up, basically, for all the students that are coming up here.
Well, it's a scripture,
My question is, I'd really like you to square that for me, the idea that there's an all-powerful creator that sets up an environment where the rules are such that suffering exists. If you don't want to violate people's... You're saying that it's people's choices that make them suffer, but if you're an all-powerful creator, why would you create a world where people's choices could lead them to suffer in such a horrible way?
He didn't.
What do you mean he didn't? What do you mean he didn't?
Haven't you read the book?
I've read the Bible.
God created everything. It was very good and perfect. No sin. In came sin, in came death.
If God created an environment where that could happen, he knew it was going to happen. He's omniscient as well.
Yeah.
So he knew that he was always going to introduce horrible, awful suffering into this world for millions and millions of people.
Yes.
So he always knew that was going to happen, and he created an environment where that was going to happen.
So do you really?
And he's all powerful.
Yeah. So you really believe that happened?
I really believe what? Nothing I'm saying
is contradictory
to. God
created a world full of suffering.
No, I don't believe that. That's
why. What are you complaining about if you don't believe in it?
That's why I reject the idea.
That's like being upset about Cinderella's pumpkin turning into a coach at midnight or something. If it doesn't exist, why are you upset? I'll tell you what's going on. Your conscience is accusing you of sin and you're trying to cover your sins. The Bible says, he that covers the sin shall not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. So I'm not trying to win an argument with you. I'm not trying to get you to believe the Bible. I'm not trying to answer all your questions. Solomon, I'm trying to tell you that you're in terrible danger and you don't realize it. You're like a man in a house, second story, it's a wooden, it's on fire. Flames are coming up and I can see it, but you can't because you're asleep. So I try and awaken you and you say, don't waken me up. I want you to see the flames. And the way for me to do it is to just show you you're not a good person, you're under God's wrath, and if you die in your sins, God will justly damn you to hell. That's what the Bible says. I don't want that to happen to you.
Okay, I don't have any problem with you believing that, but I just want people in, you know, around to really question this and ponder this for themselves. If God is all-powerful, if he created the universe in such a way that horrible suffering can occur, why did he do that? Yeah. And I want to see if, you know, just wrestle with that.
So do you know the mind of God?
I don't know the mind of God,
no,
but it doesn't make sense.
But I have the scriptures that tell me how to find everlasting life, and I plead with your soul. Tonight, you could die in your sleep, and I am deeply concerned for your salvation because you've told me you're a lying thief, a blasphemer, a fornicator, an adulterer at heart, and a murderer at heart. You've got a stack of sins, and the Bible says God's wrath abides upon you. And every time you sin, even in thought or in word, you store up his wrath that's going to be revealed on the day of judgment. And Saul, if your eyes meet my eyes on the day of judgment, and you're still in your sins, I'm free from your blood because I've told you the truth. You need a savior. You need someone who can wash away your sins, make you clean in the sight of a holy God. And if you refuse God's mercy, you're going to reap his judgment. So I want you to think about that. As you lay your head on your pillow tonight, listen to your heartbeat in your ear and think, if that heart stops, I'm into eternity. And God's given you a will to live. Isn't it true something in you says, I don't want to die? Is that true?
Sorry, one more time.
Isn't there something in you that says, I don't want to die?
Yeah, I don't want to die, and I'm scared of it, but I don't let that fear drive me to believe that there's some eternal paradise in which I can escape to.
I'm not saying to do that. I'm saying let that fear open your heart to the gospel, because this is what the Bible says. Jesus Christ has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Past tense. Did you know in the Old Testament God promised he would destroy death? And in the New Testament we're told how he did it? Ever read the Bible?
I've read the Bible.
Yeah. Have you met the author?
Have I met the author? No, I don't think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Repent, trust in Jesus, and you'll know the author. So please think about this.
A lot of authors, mostly human, or maybe all human,
God
ago.
God used men to pen his word to humanity. And his word tells you how to find everlasting life. One other thing. You said you're terrified of dying. Am I correct?
Yeah, I'm scared of dying.
Yeah, scared of dying. You know why?
Because dying is scary.
Yes, because dying is scary, because you're a human being. You're not a beast, a dog, a horse, a cat, or a cow. You're made in the image of God, and God has placed eternity upon your heart.
I think animals are scared of dying, too, when they can sense it's coming.
Don't get away from what I'm saying. Solomon, whom you're written, named after, said God has placed eternity on the hearts of men. It's Ecclesiastes 3:11. So you're different from the animals, and that something in you says, oh, I don't want to die. And then the book of Hebrews says, you are haunted by the fear of death all your lifetime, and that will be a haunting until you either die in your sins or you come to Christ and God releases you from the power of death and the fear of death. So that's what God's offering you today. Everlasting life is a free gift, so set aside your arguments and plead for God to forgive your sins.
The reason that you're not going to convince me is that all your arguments come from a book that's already presupposed on the notion that God exists.
What's your problem with that?
If I were to give you some random book and ask you to believe all the answers in it, I don't think that you would do that. Ability to acquire information from the environment to understand, like, to come to a sense of a world that they can understand.
Are you an atheist?
I'm an atheist.
Well, why don't you tell me? I've got in and out cards for you. I see any atheist that comes up. It should have been up his four in and out cards. Stay there.
Yeah, I love In-N-Out, so thank you very much.
You love In-N-Out. You're going to pick out at In-N-Out. So, you don't believe in God's existence. Is that right?
I think it's more unlikely than likely. At least unlikely. The Christian God, too.
Let me tell you how you can prove God's existence in 30 seconds, scientifically, without the use of faith. Are you open?
Sure.
I see you're smiling. Sure. Is that a cynical smile?
I'm open to hearing what you have to say.
Okay.
I think that if it were the case that you could scientifically prove God's existence in 30 seconds, everyone would believe in God, but
okay.
I don't think that everyone else is in
well,
the world.
Let's give it a try.
Atheist is so stupid.
And you can give me a mark, 1 out of 10, when we get to the end of it. That building is proof there was a builder. Am I right?
Sure.
You know there was a builder. Even if the builder died 50 years ago, you know, don't just believe, you know there was a builder, because buildings cannot build themselves.
Okay.
That's scientific. That's knowledge. The word science just means knowledge. Creation is evidence of a creator. You look around, you see the genius of God's creative hand. Everywhere you look, and the Bible says this, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So you know God exists because you know things have been made. Let me tell you what an atheist believes. An atheist believes the scientific impossibility that nothing created everything. Not that there was nothing in the beginning, but an atheist believes that nothing gave us flowers, birds, trees, the sun, the moon, the stars, puppies, kittens, the marvels of the human eye, the miracle of childbirth, the human mind, male and female, all the species came about because nothing was the creative force. That's insane. That's what the Bible says. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. And the reason you can't find God has been said for the same reason a thief can't find a policeman. That's why you can't find God, because of your guilt. God wrote his law upon your heart via your conscience. God's given light to every man. And deep down, Solomon, you know God exists. I'm not trying to convince you he exists, because you know that. I'm trying to say you're in danger. You need to repent and trust the Savior.
Okay, I believe that you're concerned for me and for my soul.
More from Ray Comfort and the crew at Living Waters at the Turning Point USA Speak Your Mind event coming up on Wretched Radio.